Yes, morning all, Wednesday, April 3, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening, with the teams out for the NRL this week. Gather round coming up in the AFL in South Australia as well. They've got a boxing fight night there, which is on Stan tonight, pay-per-view, called The Gathering, where some ex-AFL players are putting the gloves on against each other as well. News around Zach Lomax at the Dragons. And, well, stacks of other things to talk about today. Dick Fane, though, will be on tomorrow. He's catching a flight. So our US sports segment will be tomorrow. But as you heard in the intro, with Pup dealing with his IT and Wi-Fi, etc., we brought in the big guns this morning. Dean Bulldog Ritchie. How are you, Bulldog?
Yeah, what's good doing? Morning, Middo. Good morning, Loz. Good morning, everybody. Always good to come in here nice and early. Just a little bit of a chill in there in the last week, isn't it? I love it. I hate the summer sun and the humidity.
Yeah, and we're about to go into daylight saving this weekend,
correct,
Bulldog. So it won't be as dark when we arrive at the studio. But yeah, no, it's starting to get a little bit colder, but the weekend was perfect weather. This weekend, not so.
Got some rain coming, heavy rain.
Very much so, Bulldog. You going to the races?
I am going to the races on Saturday.
Who are you going with?
Just going with some friends, and I just want to ensure it's a good day. But having said that, let's hope the rain bomb stays away.
The rain bomb.
It's going to be a big day, Middo. Four group ones, I think.
So
it'll be an absolute cracking day out there at Royal Randwick.
Belter, and we had the barrier draws for those four group ones yesterday. And another will in the Doncaster, solid at $3.50 with Tab, drew 21, which would be 17 of 20 if those emergencies come out. Riff Rocket in the Derby, gate 10 of 14, also solid at $3.50. Imperatrix, $3 for the TJ, got 6. And Storm Boy, $2.50 for the English size, barrier 8 of 10. But there's a lot to play out in regards to this weather and potential track. Oh, gosh, Sydney, I've seen upwards of 90 mils forecast for Friday. And how many times does this actually eventuate? But, yeah, I mean, the Friday's the day where there's significant rain forecast. I've got the weather at Randwick in front of me, courtesy of the Bureau of Meteorology. So Thursday, 3 to 20 mil. Okay. Friday, 25 to 80. This is for Randwick. Saturday, 0 to 30 mils rain forecast. So, gee, they give themselves a range, don't they, the Bureau?
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that they, you know, will argue they can't be wrong if they give ranges like that.
What do you make of the weatherman's reports, Loz?
I could get a job there.
Right. It could rain, but it might be sunny in the afternoon.
Mate, you just cover your ass. That's all you do. Just cover your ass.
Sounds like your job Monday to Friday.
What's that?
Sounds like your job Monday to Friday.
Throw people under the bus and just keep going.
Gee, you're going to lob some grenades today, I reckon, Bulldog?
Yeah, I think I'll cause a few dramas today with a couple of columns I've written lately. I believe in them. And
you're hitting lately. What's going on?
Stand by them. Oh, they've given me a column to do, Laurie, and that column's about an opinion, and you've got to offer it. You know,
you don't want to be controversial.
Don't set out to be controversial, but you've also got to have your say and you've got to make your opinion strong. Social media's, to me, the devil in the room. I hate it. Oh. And I've copped a bit of a whack on there in recent days, but I haven't looked this morning and I don't think I will look today.
Mm. How many people actually have pictures of themselves and their names that give it to you?
On Twitter, none.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
I just try to say to myself, don't engage. I'm happy to engage with somebody who's got the balls and the guts to put their name to it. But if you want to be gutless and hide behind a name and then expect me to answer, well, you're wasting your time as well as mine.
Anyway, we look forward to that throughout the morning, of course. But the team's out for this week, and a big game to start the round tomorrow night there at Amy Park with the Melbourne Storm coming off a bye. And the Broncos, a really good performance last Friday, 38-12 against their rivals, the North Queensland Cowboys. But big ins for the Storm. Munster, Hughes, Kristen Welsh will come back as well. And the Bronx, they're handing a debut to Ben Takura, who stands 205 centimetres, believed to be the tallest player in the game's history. But having Munster and Hughes back in the halves, just so big for the Melbourne Storm loss.
Well, if they're going to have final success, they'll need those two in the team. There's still no Nelson Asofa Solomona. He's apparently on the nose down there in Melbourne. Come back in not great shape in the off-season, and the Storm haven't been happy with him. So he'll play reserve grade once again. But to get a couple of key players back at this time of the year, pretty crucial to the Melbourne Storm, because I think they've done a reasonable job to start the season, in particular without Cameron Munster. They just got beaten by Newcastle in Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. Then they've had the bye. They've freshened up. They take on the Broncos, but the Broncos are decimated at the moment. But I like the way they played their footy the other night against the Cowboys in horrible conditions. But Adam Reynolds' kicking game was first class, and it just goes to show you, while there's been some critics of Adam Reynolds over the last couple of years, and he just continues to have games where you go, he can go on for another year or two. And I don't know why we're quick to write off old, inexperienced halfbacks after they have a poor game. Everyone expects them to have 10 out of 10s every week, but an experienced halfback are hard to get. You look at 7 or 8 teams in the comp, what they would give to have Adam Reynolds.
Bulldogs. Well, South are still struggling, aren't they, to replace Adam Reynolds to this very day. And it's been, what, two and a half years?
They didn't get a run at the Tigers. You get a run at the Dolphins. You get a run at the Titans. He'd get a run at a lot of clubs. He'd get a run at the Dragons. He'd get a run at Newcastle. I just don't know why we all of a sudden, these older, experienced halves, when they don't play as well as they should, or they're out with a niggle or two, everyone tends to get on their back and say, Bronco's waste of money. No, he hasn't been a waste of money.
We took him to a grand final last year and was probably within a minute of winning the grand final. This Ben Takura, the tallest man allegedly in rugby league. I'll throw out two more lads from the past. Remember Paul Hoff?
Yeah.
Yep.
He was a giant. And there was a fullback for Parramatta in the 70s called Phil Mann. They called him the Spider. He was absolutely as lanky as can be. But there's two other really tall players. We'll see how this bloke goes.
Paul Hoff played...
played for Australia,
didn't he? Yeah, it might have been 91. He had an outstanding season. He was unbelievable. I remember I had to try and make a tackle on him in an Origin game once. And it might have been Origin or a Broncos game. I just didn't get near him. I showed him a bit of space on the side, and he just took it and just ran straight past me. And I thought, wow, this bloke, just long stride. But he was quite tall. How tall was he?
Well, Phil Mann was 2 metres and 1 centimetre.
Yeah, this guy's
2.05, isn't he? Yeah, so that'd be interesting to see how he goes. It's not often we get a really tall forward in our game who's, well over 6 foot. So it'd be interesting to see what he's built like and what his mobility's like.
Anything from Dez at all there at the Gold Coast Titans Bulldogs? I was just thinking yesterday, imagine if the Titans were in Sydney at the moment. They would be absolutely getting hammered because they have been just abysmal to start the season. Clearly the worst team in the league.
Yeah, I spoke to Dez briefly yesterday. We normally have a bit of a G up on the phone, but the G ups have dried up just a fraction at the moment. I don't think he's in a real chirpy mood. He knows he's struggling. Clearly it's for all to see. Yeah, I spoke to him before the game last week. He just wanted to win, as ugly as it was, just to get the monkey off the back. But they can't do it at the moment. I hate to say it, but you look at the draw and I just don't know how far into the season we're going to go before the Titans get that first win.
I never expected them to be this bad. Them to be this bad because I was umming and ahhing about possibility of making the 8.
Me too.
They can't score points.
You look at their halves, they're struggling there. Their forwards, obviously, no Tino, he's gone for the year. It could not have imploded quicker in 2 or 3 weeks, given all the expectations we had up there and all the high hopes Titans fans had. And, that round 2 game, I think it was, Mitter, 32-0 against the Bulldogs, that was appalling.
They've scored 18 points in 3 games.
But they've leaked a lot too, haven't they?
Yeah, 28, 32 and 30, they've conceded. And yet Cowboys, Raiders away. They've got Manly at home, Warriors away, and then Storm at home. Cowboys at home, Knights at home. Well, that's magic round.
They might win three or four of those games. They might, but they'll win a game, you'd think.
Well, you look at the side that we thought would run last, or many did, the Tigers, and clearly they're playing for their coach, and they've won two games. So you'd have to think in the revised betting market, Middo, and you would no doubt have mentioned this
whatever
in previous
he's doing
days.
Whatever he's doing coaching-wise, Benji's working. And I think that's probably what other coaches will start to look at now, what Benji's doing as a coach. What do you think?
You having a pot at me?
What? No, I'm just saying.
Well, I did find it interesting.
The Tigers are one of the successful teams, and the coach,
and that's what
the
I
coach
said.
Is playing golf on the morning of the game. I don't know too many coaches that do that, but it just seems like it's working.
But
I
isn't that an unusual approach?
This is the future of coaching.
And that's exactly what I wrote. Yeah. It would be an unusual approach that he takes.
I was a supporter of yours, Bulldog. You were just posing the question.
I appreciate it. But even playing golf on game day, that is unusual. How many coaches would do that?
I don't know, Dean, but it's the way to go.
I'm saying if it works for Benji, go for it. Do you think many coaches would play golf game day?
I don't know. I've never asked. But I think whatever he's doing is working. 100%. Well done to Benji. Terrific young bloke.
I think you're being facetious over
I'm
here.
I'm not being facetious.
You are.
I'm just saying.
Your
it's just
your attitude.
It's working.
I agree. And you know what? People are still having pot shots at me on social, and I'm not going to respond because it makes me look as though I'm trying to defend myself against Benji. And I said clearly at the time, it may well be the way that Benji gets his best.
Well, you don't have to get angry, Dean. You don't have to get angry. Get your point across.
I get my back up over people like you. You pot from the sidelines.
No, I'm just giving you my opinion.
Okay, all jokes aside, be honest. Coaching and playing golf on the same day. Mm. It's working for Benji.
Yep.
But how many other coaches would do that? No one, let's be honest. No coach would give up 4.5 hours on game day to play golf. But if it works for Benji and it keeps him calm, go for it.
It's probably the only time they get to play.
Probably.
All the work's done.
True. Yeah.
So they can't do anything game day. So it's a good timing.
Would a coach not feel a little strange inside playing, though, thinking, I bet you my opponent isn't on the golf course? Or do you just think, you know what,
no,
I don't care about those things.
No.
I've got to do what works for me.
Well, a lot of them may spend time with family. Some might go for a surf. Some might go for a run. So what's the difference?
I mean, the job's done on game day, isn't it?
Game day,
you're not giving
instructions. You can't do anything in the morning before the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you might be able to, when you get to the game, you know, you're addressed to the players before and after and during the game, you might be able to make some type of difference, but the prep's been done. Mm.
Did you hear the crowd at CommBank on Monday with in regards to Tigers fans? It was deafening. I'm thinking, this is a Parramatta home game.
Yeah, across the TV screen.
It just shows you, Middo, doesn't it, that the game wants the Tigers to be strong. And if they are strong, they've got such a great supporter base and they're loud and they're... And they're vocal and they've got history and I think it's great that they've won two games in a row, albeit I'm sure people will doubt my authenticity in that comment.
Lomaxed out. Cashed up Dragons lose patience with Star. That's back page of the Daily Telegraph, back page of the Sydney Morning Herald as well. Lomax to meet Eels as Dragons grant Star early contract release. Is the headline there. So the club yesterday confirming it had reached agreement with Zach Lomax for him to leave at the end of the season. So he's a free agent. He can talk to other clubs now about 2025 and beyond. And it was again reiterated he could only leave this year if Shane Flanagan is comfortable with a player swap offer. So it turns to now where he ends up. And the Herald saying he will meet with Parramatta today. And how do the Dragons spend the cash? As well, if Lomax or when Lomax leaves, whether it be less likely during this season, you would think, Bulldog, and from 2025 and beyond, and whether he's doing himself out of cash himself as well, because he's reportedly on around 800 a year at the moment. Can he get that elsewhere?
Well, Parramatta, is obviously one of his suitors, as I understand, the Roosters in Melbourne are just gently looking into the situation. I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest with you, gents. I mean, since when do players now tell the coach where they're going to play and if they don't get their way, they go, I'm walking out? Is it the new age player that we look at? I mean, in the old days, the coach told the player where to play. The player didn't tell the coach. He's done a good job this year, Zach Lomax. He's played brilliantly on the wing. He's racked up some great numbers. And yet, because he doesn't get the position that he wants to play, rather than digging in and fighting, he's just said, I'm out. I just don't like it, personally, that a player doesn't get his own way and throws his toys out of the cot.
Do we know that's the reason?
Well, it's been the reason that's been suggested now for, what, 6 weeks to 2 months.
But I think this rumour's been going around for a little bit longer than that.
About Lomax wanting out of the club? It may well be, Laurie, but I'm basing it on what I keep hearing is that it's to do with the position. Perhaps there's some more underlying factors there. I don't know, but I'm also a bit surprised Flano let him go because Flano showed last year with Ben Hunt that if he wants to keep a player who's an elite player, he's going to. And he just said to Ben Hunt, you're not going anywhere. But when it's come to Lomax, he's allowed him to go.
And on that, I see Billy Slater on Wild World of Sports has, you know, accused the Dragons of double standards, considering the situation with Ben Hunt as well.
Yeah, but sometimes I think you learn from your mistakes as well. I'm not saying it was a mistake to let Ben Hunt go, but the noise that surrounded Ben Hunt, will he or won't he, affected the Dragons season. Because every week, it was just in the media. And I reckon by bringing this to a head, and him not agitating for a lease, and that's the story every week when the Dragons go to a press conference, that's knocked on the head now. Everyone knows that Zach Lomax will not be at the Dragons, and everyone knows that they've freed up some salary cap space. And the other thing it does is give the Dragons some opportunity now to sit back and have a look and not be left in the lurch if it was to happen later in the year when he left. They get an opportunity now to sit back and assess and identify weaknesses in their squad, target the right player.
It can't be the coach, Laurie. If you are suggesting that Lomax's dissatisfaction's gone back a couple of months, because Shane Flanagan's only really been in the job for, what, 3 months, 4 months. So it can't be the coach either. So you know, what is it? Is it his position? It can't be his money. It can't be the coach. It's the time Zach Lomax actually came out and said, why I want to leave. Clear the air a bit. Yeah, and it's all right to have money. I get that. But you're letting an elite player go. You can't always get an elite player to come in. They're hard to find.
No, you can't. But there'll be some players on the market that you can try and build your roster from. And, you know, you might be able to get someone from another club and turn them in. If you've got a good system in place, and Penrith's a classic example, Melbourne are a good example. They pick the right player, they put him into their system, and they go 10 times better than what they've been anywhere else.
If you look at that Dragons roster, and you've got a better football brain than I have, where do you think's an area that they could target with the money they've now got sitting there in the salary cap?
This is the other thing they'll have to be. I don't know what they've got underneath. But one thing you'd be looking at is trying to identify a replacement for Ben Hunt for when he leaves. Because without him, if he got injured, I don't know where they're going. So I don't know whether there's someone out there that they have identified as a potential replacement for Ben Hunt. Try and get him into the system. Because Ben Hunt will go in the next year or two, won't he? You'll have 1 or 2 years, and you're better off to plan now for halfbacks, but obviously forwards. You know, they need some strength in the middle. And I saw Big Nelson mentioned last night on NRL 360 by the panel. They were talking about Big Nelson and Sofa Solomona possibly going to the Dragons. Is he the right fit for the Dragons? I know there'll be a lot of clubs lining up for him, but he's on big money down there in Melbourne. And the fact that he hasn't met the standards at the Storm, would that sway clubs away from him? Because Melbourne have this reputation of getting the best out in players, and if players don't buy in, they buy themselves out, if you know what I mean. And they've set a standard, and they won't drop that standard for anyone. But you'd certainly look at strengthening the middle. But when you've got an experienced halfback like Ben Hunt, I reckon 2 or 3 years from the end, you've got to try and identify the person to replace them.
The Dragons are insistent he will play out this season. But you can't help but think if a deal can be struck between Lomax and a new club in the next week or two, 4:25, that there might not be some agitation for him to go immediately.
So this is what I wouldn't like if I was a fan, to see Zach Lomax play three clubs in the space of 6 months.
hate that.
Like play for the Dragons, go and play a short-term deal with, just say the Warriors, for instance, and then sign for Parramatta the year after. I'd be just sitting there going, mate, I don't get that. I don't. And I'm unsure of whether the long-term club that signs Zach would be happy for him to go and play with that other club as well. I think they'd prefer him to stay at the Dragons and play, but I don't know.